Yeah, yeah. St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
And so is it different up here than it is in Florida?
It's totally different. Culture shock.
And that's a good thing. I'll
yes,
tell you what,
yeah,
I've been there.
So. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking today about the working of miracles, and hopefully we'll get into the gift of prophecy, which we'll talk about the difference between prophets, the gift of prophecy, and things of that nature, because when we get in those things, we can get into a lot of discussion about error and all that kind of stuff. So, but before we go any further, I want to look at a couple of miracles today, and these are miracles that in the name of Jesus, you can do, and with the working of miracles and the gifts of healing and the gifts of the Spirit, you can do this. This is the heritage of every believer. So
Amen.
Let's go into these miracles right now. We'll be right back with you. I command you in the name of Jesus to come out right now. Be opened in the name of Jesus. You hear that? You hear? In the name of Jesus, you devil, come out in the name of Jesus. Be opened in Jesus' name. Now look. You hear that? You hear that? In the name of Jesus, I command right now, this jaw come into alignment. And I command you, you dumb devil, come out right now in Jesus' name. Now, okay, this girl's been deaf for 6 years. Now God's opened up her ears. Now 6 years deaf, and God has opened her ears up. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I remember her last night. That's how her mother says her face was. Her face was over here. Her jaw was totally disformed last night. And when we pray, God uncrossed her eyes, God unstopped her ears. And Jesus, God healed her mouth.
The first night, this man was totally paralyzed. He could not move his hand. Do you remember him? Now, look at his hand. And his foot was all bent over and bent up under his body. That's how he was Wednesday night, and God touched him. Now look at him now. He used to walk with a cane. Now you listen, God has done a great miracle. This, I remember that. Hallelujah. And God touched him, and look at this. You could not believe it. This is all crunch. You remember that? I could not bend it out. And now look at him. Look at that. Hallelujah. Move it up. Put your arm up. Put it up there. Look at that. He could not, I'm telling you, he was a crippled mess that first night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Lift her, Kenneth, here.
This?
Yeah, the lift one.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
How long have you been deaf in that area?
Been in
almost 7 years.
Almost 7 years?
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I command this deaf devil come out right now in Jesus' name. Be opened in the name of Jesus. Amen. You hear that?
Okay.
You hear that? Look, you hear that? Huh? You hear? A little, okay. In the name of Jesus, did you break your eardrum? What happened?
What?
Huh? Why did you go deaf?
Whoa.
Huh?
I heard.
You're hearing.
Heard.
Now this young man has been deaf for 7 years, and now God's opened up his deaf ear, and he's hearing. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. You happy?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That, you know, those are miracles that, and we're going to talk about today the working of miracles. Sometimes people think, well, you know, miracles are gifts of spirit. The miracles are not a gift of the spirit. The working of miracles is. So we're going to be talking about that today. And Rob, if we can go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, let's read again from 7 down to verse 11.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
So we have the gifts of the Spirit. Remember, we've talked about every gift unveils God to lost humanity. And here we have what we're going to talk about today is the working of miracles. In other words, that this working of miracles that unveils Christ, that establishes that he is the Messiah, because he is accompanied by that.
Yeah.
And that's when we operate in these gifts, we confirm his identity.
Amen.
Well, these gifts, especially the working of miracles, unveil to us that there's nothing impossible to God.
Yeah.
That his hand's not short, that it cannot save. And, you know, he asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? When he said, your wife, 90 years old, is going to have a baby this time next year. I'm sure he thought, that's a little hard, God.
Yeah,
but it's not for God.
Yeah.
So miracles confirm that God can do anything.
Yeah.
And God's not short on power, and he's not short on fulfilling things of that nature. So when we start looking into the working of miracles, it is a strength, it is a virtue, it is, and it flows through us and is given to us by simply grace, by the favor of God.
Yeah.
Now, these operate, the Bible says in Galatians 3:5, I believe it is, that he that worketh miracles among you, how doth he do it? By the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? Well, he does it by the hearing of faith. So we're going to talk today about the working of miracles. The word working simply means how a miracle operates.
Yeah.
The process of a miracle, how it's activated, how it is seen when it's finished, not the behind workings of it. So when it talks about the working of miracles, Rob, it talks about the process.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the process is hidden, but there is enough revealed to us that we can see.
Yeah.
Remember, Mark 4 said that the kingdom of God is if a man would plant a seed. And we see the leaf, a stalk, and so forth, but we don't see everything that brings forth that leaf or that stalk. But we do know that we see enough evidence that our faith is that something is working.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Yes. And so the working of miracles. Let's go over to Luke 1:34. Luke 1:34, and of course this is talking about the birth of Jesus, which is, yes, it's an immaculate conception, but it is an operation of the working of miracles.
Yeah.
Let's go from verse 34 to 36.
It says, then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren.
Now, when we first look at this, we say, oh, wow, you know, it's a miracle birth. It is a miracle birth, but it is also the working of miracles. Something is set in motion, and then something continues to happen. Now, we understand that it takes faith to obtain this type of intervention of God because, remember, Zacchaeus said, Zechariah said, well, how will, and the angel smote him dumb because of his unbelief.
Exactly.
He said, you're not going to be a help to this. I can see that right now.
Yeah.
So,
where Mary said, be it unto me.
Yeah, Mary says, be it unto me. And, and he's complaining, well, how, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell my grandkids that sometimes when they're arguing with their mother, I say, you know, you're missing a good time just to shut up because you're about to get something you don't want. You're going to have fire where people are not supposed to have it. And then you're going to get grounded. And I get punished because you can't hunt or fish.
Yeah.
I got to put up with your just your desire to talk. But she's wrong. We all know she's wrong. Who cares? She wields the power. Amen.
<Yeah. laughs>
So, but it takes faith. Remember, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit many times, most of the time, are response to someone's faith.
Yeah.
And so when the working of miracles go into operation, it is a process. It starts with something. And usually, Rob, it starts with a manifestation, yeah, a small blade, yeah, as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
Like someone would say, I'll give you the example of a great miracle that took place in Dallas, Texas. Now, I know that all you're going to think, this is impossible. No, it's not impossible. My son-in-law used to think I was lying to him, and he thought it was impossible.
Yeah.
I was down in Dallas, Texas, in Danny Wegman's church, and I was preaching, and I called for the people that were sick to come forward. Well, this woman comes forward, and she's got a seeing eye dog.
Yeah.
But she had no eyeballs.
Wow.
She was born with no eyeballs. And so I asked the stupid question, what do you need? Hmm. And she says, well, I'm blind.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, listen, sweetheart, I don't know if this can work or not. But I said, okay. I said, well, let's pray. So we prayed, first time, nothing. Then we prayed a second time, yeah, and I said, what do you see? And she said, well, I see light. Hmm. And I said, you see light? She said, I see light. I said, okay, go home, and you know what? God will complete,
yeah,
the work of a miracle. Now, the reason I knew that was many times we have to discern or interpret,
yeah,
what is taking place.
Yeah.
And so I interpreted that, you know what? This is the working of miracles.
Yeah.
Something has happened.
Yeah.
Now, if I would have pushed it, maybe nothing else would have happened. She could have got discouraged. This is why it's so important that we be led of God while we're using these gifts.
Yeah.
But this woman went home, and, you know, and everybody clapped, hallelujah,
yeah,
you know, and so Eric and I went home. So we come back the next year, and we have a prayer line again, and this woman comes up, and she's looking at me, and I said, and she got two eyeballs. So I said, yes, ma'am, what can I do for you? And she said, don't you remember me? I'm thinking, I can't even remember what shirts I have in my closet. Let alone be. And so she says, well, last year I came, and I had a seeing eye dog, and I didn't have any eyeballs, and I was blind.
Wow.
And I'm bumfuckled. And I said, okay. And she said, but you prayed for me last year, and God recreated and gave me these eyes,
wow,
and I can see perfectly, and they came and took the seeing eye dog away from me. Wow. Well, I said, who cares about the dog? You got eyeballs.
You got eyeballs. Created, well, a miracle happened.
Now, that was a crazy miracle.
Yeah.
Well, my son-in-law, which is a great man of faith, never believed that story. So he had a children's crusade, you know, and he brought in a children's pastor.
Yeah.
Lo, this children's pastor was from Danny Wegman's church. So he's talking to my son-in-law, and he's saying, yeah, I'm from Dallas. And Randy says, you know, my father-in-law prayed for a lady in Dallas, and she didn't have any eyes or anything. He said, your pastor prayed for that woman? He said, yeah. He said, she's a personal friend of mine.
Wow.
I know her. She goes to our church, Danny Wegman's church. And Randy said, you're kidding me. He said,
that's
no.
Awesome.
She's a personal friend of ours, and she had no eyes, and your pastor prayed for her, and God gave her brand new eyeballs.
Wow.
Now, that was a working of miracles.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she saw light, that was evidence. Now, how does a working of miracles work in order, in other words, how do we have faith to do something that is impossible?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the previous evidence that is produced, Rob, gives birth to a faith,
yeah,
to believe
for what's
for
coming,
the next,
yeah,
manifestation of, as it were, the sprout, the,
yeah,
leaf, or the flower.
Yeah. Amen.
So when she saw the light, I said, oh man.
Yeah.
God's doing something.
That's it.
And so I proceed. I don't want to pray. Let God's work be done.
Yeah.
And so We let the working of miracles run its course.
Wow.
And that little girl that we seen on the video when we first started that was deaf in her ears, but she was blind in one eye, and her jaw was twisted. She wore a towel where she drooled.
Wow.
And but I told her mother, I said, take her home, let the miracle finish, and bring her back tomorrow. And of course, when she came back tomorrow, her mother said she woke up this morning, her jaw was straight, and her blind eye had opened up.
That's amazing.
So the working of miracles is something that starts, that can be aborted, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because if we say, well, I got prayed for, but nothing happened. No, if you deny the evidence that faith has produced or that God has given to you to allow you to see the working of the kingdom, remember that we don't look on natural things. Yeah. We look on the unseen things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so once you see something, God expects us to believe it.
Yeah.
And so then, and really, that which is seen is no longer faith. So as soon as we see that, that stage of faith is over, and we're moving on to a place where we've been given new faith, and that sets in motion another part of the working of miracles. Remember, it's here a little, there a little, there a little, here a little, precept upon precept.
Yeah.
It is like a man that casts a seed into the ground.
Yeah.
It can be progressive. So the fullness of a miracle, the fullness of the working of the kingdom can be in, it may take days, it may take weeks.
Yeah.
But what we have to do when we have evidence, that's enough to keep us alive. And so when we pray for people, and many times you've seen it, you know, and you've done it, you know, okay, you know, your hand is crippled. What can you do now?
Yeah.
Well, I can do that. Could you do that there before? No. Okay, good. Good. Praise God.
Sorry.
God's doing something.
Yeah.
And we know that there is working, and we know that God is performing a miracle. And you might be led to pray again to get the full thing, or you might be saying, you know what, go, and you'll be whole.
Exactly.
And so
and like you said, you have to discern that.
You have to discern that. Yeah. And that's why we have to just know our Father's voice, which is your DNA, to know him and to know his voice. But it is that the Holy Ghost is our partner. He's leading us. He's guiding us. And so when you're praying for people, just don't try to run like a, you know, a six-year-old through a china shop with a ball bat trying to get to the ball field behind it, because you're going to do a lot of damage.
Exactly.
Just allow it to have its time.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to John, the second chapter, and let's read, Rob, from verse 1 down to 11. And, of course, this is the well-known story about Jesus' first miracle at the wedding.
Yeah. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and the disciples and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there are six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two of the three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, that it was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that which is worse. But thou hast kept a good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
Believed on him.
Amen.
And that confirms that faith comes not just by hearing, but by seeing.
Yeah.
But before we go into the process of the working of this miracle, let's talk a little bit, because I run into people all over the place that want to say, well, Jesus drank wine, and here Jesus made wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so give me a little insight. I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. You know, I've heard various interpretations of this and studying it throughout the years, but I know it was against the law of Moses to get drunk with wine.
Yes.
So they wouldn't have been breaking the law.
Right.
We know that for sure.
Right.
But the debate whether it was, you know, alcoholic or not, you know, he created it new, so
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the fermentation of it. But I do know Welch's grape juice wasn't invented until the 1800s. So.
Yeah.
So what do you think about it?
I have a little different take on this. You know, the Bible says that if a priest drinks wine in a day, that he cannot perform service in the temple. He is totally excluded. So number one, as us being the descendants of the Levitical priesthood and being priests of Jesus, you should not drink, because every day we fellowship and every day we are offering up spiritual sacrifices.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, what is the catch in this? And he says in verse 6, and go ahead and read that, verse 6, Rob.
And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the same manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Yeah.
After the manner.
Yeah.
What is the manner?
Yeah.
What is the manner of purifying what comes, what goes in and what comes out? It goes in differently because of purifying, that's the manner.
Yeah.
That is the process. Hmm. Now, every Jew, every priest, if he blessed something and it turned into sin, that sin fell upon the priest.
Yeah.
So now the priest was guilty and had sin on his life. So he would have to offer up a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So, and he couldn't do anything in his office. So when it says after the manner of the Jews are, after the manner, in other words, no Jew, the Bible says that no friend would give wine to a friend when it was red. Because it would contain the bite of a serpent. So no Jew, and you are a Jew of the truest sense if you're born again, no Jew would induce the bite of a serpent upon a friend, because he's his brother's keeper. Amen. And he's to love his neighbor as himself. You've done it to the least of them. You've done it unto me. Now, the manner of purifying.
Yeah.
The old custom of the Levitical priesthood was when they went to bless a marriage, they knew what it was going to turn into.
Yeah.
They knew their people just like God knows you, that you're going to go as far as you can get and claim justification. So what they did in these pots, a Levitical priesthood would take wine and he would pour it into these purifying vats, and then he would serve it. But in the purifying vat, firstkins, were 7 times the amount of water compared to the wine.
To the wine, yeah.
7 being the number of completion, completely taking the sting out of it.
Yeah.
So what happens was they would dilute it up to 7 times, and then they would bless it. Before that, he could not take away what the scriptures declared was in the wine.
Yeah.
And so what he has to do is he has to dilute it to the point that the serpent can't bite through the wine.
Amen.
And what does the serpent's bite do back in Numbers? Yeah. It causes sickness and diseases, brings the curse, and so forth. So what a priest would do is he would say, I will come and I will bless the marriage. And the people wanted him there. But he was an overseer for the sin. That sin did not happen under his watch of this wedding or of this party.
Exactly.
And so what he would do is say, okay, you need more wine? That's fine. Bring it on in here.
Yeah.
And you know what? You pour that wine in there, and then you fill these purifying pots with water, because they will be pure because it comes out under my jurisdiction.
Yeah. Wow. That's good.
So, don't drink anything that's fermented unless it's diluted seven times. Oh, I can drink wine. Oh, only if you have a little stomach ache. Listen to me. Self-justifying hypocrite, you need to stop doing that which offends people.
Amen.
And if you think that drinking wine does not offend the world, you are absolutely wrong. And if you don't think it offends the brother, let me give you a direct quote from me. Drinking wine, whether I know or don't know, offends me from a brother.
Yeah.
Now you are guilty of offending me, whether I know it or not. And bottom line is this, why do you need wine?
Yeah.
All things could be expedient to you. Why would you drink wine? Why would you take the chance of offending one of these little ones? Because if you offend them, it'd be better that a millstone was tied about your neck and you throwed into the bottom of Indian Lake.
Yeah.
I think it might be deep enough to hold you if you're under 6 foot.
And why would we want to participate in something that's destroying millions of lives?
Millions.
All around the world.
You know, for every dollar that is spent on alcohol, it takes 3 tax dollars to remedy the problems that it brings in our society.
Yeah.
That has to do with broken families. That has to do with welfare. Has to do with housing.
Absolutely.
Has to do with counseling. Has to do with support in school. It also has to do with your neglect of what you're going to do because you're not going to work. The state has to take care of your children. It has to do with your diseases that you're going to get because you drink.
Yeah.
Now, you think it's all fun, and then when your children get to see you and they end up being an alcoholic, well, guess what? It's because of you. You have thrown your children into the lion's paw, and you do it. Oh, it's just harmless. Listen, it's not harmless.
No.
Absolutely, it is not harmless. So that is my take on that before we go into the working.
You know, Pastor, you'll never see anyone working miracles who indulges in alcohol and drinks. And, you know, it's not going to flow in your life.
And I know this. I know that if Jesus showed up, I mean, you hide it. You try to hide it from me if I come up to your table. Don't tell me, oh, Jesus come in, I just give him a glass of wine. You are not only a justified hypocrite, you're a liar. You would not do that. Now, I know people saying, oh, my gosh, you're calling people a liar. I'm telling you, if you're sitting there telling me, oh, yeah, I'd offer Jesus a beer, sure you would.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Every alcoholic beverage created, except wine, is made of leaven.
Yeah.
And guess what? We're not supposed to partake of.
Yeah.
Leaven.
Yeah.
Because leaven is an example or symbolism of sin. And a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So you're telling me it's okay to have a little leaven, one. Well, you could have one. You know what? Stroh's and Budweiser and Miller Lite are not in the Bible.
Yeah.
So you can't even put them in the wine category.
Yeah.
Look, wine is wine.
Yeah.
So please, gosh, be honest with yourself. Hallelujah. It doesn't bother me. So you have a hard conscience, a seared conscience, a conscience that God has stopped dealing with you because you've rebelled against him too many times and disobeyed against him. That's not God's fault, and it's not his condition you got to deal with. You need to look at the scripture. Your feelings and your convictions cannot supersede the laws of the scripture.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard said...
You shouldn't have got me started. No. Did you start this whole thing right here?
I heard said that we should never be endeared to a lie, no matter how it makes us feel.
There you go.
And
absolutely.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Well, people believe a lie. They're endeared to it. Yeah.
You don't need personal conviction when you have the scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You only need personal conviction where the scripture does not touch areas that you might have questions in.
Yeah.
That's when you're convicted of your spirit. But you know what? Your spirit doesn't try to have to lead you when the scripture tells you what to do, what not to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why people think that.
I know.
You know, and look, you got to live by the word.
Yeah.
Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how you live. Well, anyway, hallelujah.
It's what sets us apart from the world.
Amen. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny how people try to backpedal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then after when they aren't caught or when they haven't been caught, they say, oh, yeah, it wouldn't bother me. Oh, it would bother you. I wouldn't come to your house and you offer me a glass of wine.
No.
Why? Well, it would offend you. There's the point in being, I would be offended. You would know it. Stop it.
Yes.
And so, anyway, let's move on to the miracle. Hallelujah. Okay. This is not a teaching on wine, but it is a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
So, we have the working of miracles. Now, what started the working of miracles? An act of obedience.
Yeah, an act of obedience. The word given and
yep.
obey.
An act of obedience is what? I like to think of obedience being Siamese, interwoven, fused together, twins.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you walk in faith, you can't disobey.
That's right.
And if you walk in obedience, you're walking in faith.
Faith, yeah.
They are brothers.
Absolutely.
Just like Adam and Eve's
yeah.
doubt produced disobedience.
Yeah.
Disobedience produced the doubt. And so they're inseparable.
Absolutely.
You can't say, I have faith and not live by the scriptures.
Yeah.
Because you have no faith.
Yeah. Faith without works is dead.
Is dead, absolutely. Yeah. So the first thing they do, we set into motion, we do this in the area of working in miracles, we first of all take a step of obedience.
Yeah.
And then what happens is as they do, then they continue to allow the process unseen by them,
yeah.
unseen by them, and then they draw out, and the miracle may not even be the draw out.
Yeah.
The miracle is how the man perceives the taste of it.
Yeah. That's good.
That's the miracle.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when people say, they were speaking in other nationalities on the day of Acts when they spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, how is it that each one of us
hear
all of these men
yeah.
speaking in our languages?
Yeah. It was a miracle of hearing.
It was a miracle of hearing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I think that the miracle is not just the transformation of the wine, but how it tasted
Yeah.
to the governor.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, and that was representative of that Levitical priesthood that was there.
Yeah.
And who was Jesus? He's our high priest.
Yeah.
So he lived in a priestly ministry from the time that he was old enough to walk.
Yeah.
And we know that they must have recognized that because they kept giving him place in the synagogue.
Yeah.
Which was unusual.
Yeah.
Because usually there would be a Pharisee or Sadducee or Levite that was over that synagogue.
Yeah.
Like in Luke the 13th chapter. But when they kept giving it to Jesus, they recognized there's something on him.
Yeah.
They called him Rabbi.
Yeah.
And so we know that there was this place of authority and the place of honor in Jesus's life.
Yeah.
So the working of miracles was that you took water, it went through its process, and it came out something that it had never been.
Yeah.
That was the working of miracles. I've heard it said that this was an example of the new birth.
Yeah.
And which I think, hey, absolutely, because, you know, it's something that goes in corrupt, but it comes out sanctified and pure.
Yeah. The example of the new covenant as well. The new
yes.
birth, the new covenant.
Absolutely.
All that.
Yep, yeah. absolutely. So I think that there are a lot of things in here, but since you got me off on a tangent, and I wanted to go on that tangent, I'll tell you that right now. And because I just, look, we have to be Christians.
Yeah.
One way or the other, either get in or get out. That's my way of thinking.
Well, so, you know, what did Paul say? He said, you know, they you know, they make fun of you basically for not running with in their flooded disposition. They don't understand why you don't run with them, why you don't do the things that they do.
Yeah.
And when Christians do everything the world does, what marks us out is different.
None.
Nothing.
The church, for a lot of parts, has become this social club.
Yeah.
It's like we want to be accepted by the world, and we want to become so like the world that they come in that they don't even know they're in church.
Yeah.
And I think that is a grave shame and a wrong representative of Christ. Jesus said this, if I had not come, you would not have sin.
Yeah.
So there must be in every believer's life a place or a point that man can see the difference to see that, you know what I'm doing is not acceptable to God.
Yeah.
And that's the transgression or that's the sin. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he came to divide the soul from the spirit and the flesh from the soul. He came to divide it and say, what you're doing is not what God wants you to do.
That's right.
What you are producing is not what God wants you to produce in your life.
Yeah.
But he brought a sword, which was the word, and he dissected that in people's lives.
He discerned their thoughts and the intentions of their heart.
There are, absolutely. Yeah. So let's go, Rob, to Luke, the 17th chapter, in verse 12 through 19. Luke 17, 12 through 19.
Luke 17. All right.
Okay, go.
And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it shall come to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God.
And there it says, it really reveals to us what took place.
Yeah.
It was, they didn't just get miracles. Yeah. Now, one time Jesus healed someone in Matthew, the 8th chapter, a single leper. And Jesus said, the leper said, you can cleanse me if you will. And he said, I will.
Be thou whole.
And he touches him and he's made whole. But here is a different type. Yeah. So we do see that there are healings that take place and miracles are produced. But this here is the working of miracles. As they're going, they are healed.
Yeah. And he was telling them to go show yourself to the priest, which Leviticus 14 is the cleansing of the leper under the priesthood.
Yes.
And
it was a process.
Yeah, whole process.
Yeah. The house. The
dipping in blood, shaving, dipping in water.
Yeah, and the proving of everything.
Exactly.
That if the evidence of God was really taking place in his flesh and in his house.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so this was the working of miracles as they went. So let's realize that the working of miracles will take place even as we're walking in ordinary life. We may be at the grocery store, we may be working, and we may be mowing the yard, but if God has given us that one evidence, then it gives birth to another. We ought to be thankful.
Thank
God, hallelujah. I couldn't move this finger, but God, now, hallelujah, I can move this finger. Thank God. Thank God he's faithful. He that began a good work in me will complete it till the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And so we praise God and we thank God. And as we're doing that, keeping our faith in motion because of what we have seen, now we're believing more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So what we've seen, we're now producing praise, thanksgiving. And what that is doing is letting the work or the process of the miracle, the process of the kingdom, the process even of the lepers to take place in our life.
Amen. And they were obedient to his word.
Yes, so
their
absolutely.
Their faith had works, and they put it, like you said, they're inseparable. And
yes. I like to think this is one thing. I have a little book, Don't Eat Your Leaves. It doesn't mean that we are supposed to be carnivores, and I'm against vegetarians. I'm not. I think that vegetarians live great lives and healthy lives. In fact, My wife told me the other day, man, you're like trying to become a vegan. I'm not trying to become a vegan, but vegetables are just better. They, you know, help you slim down and keep weight, you know, and just 10, 15 pounds can make a difference between high blood pressure and sugar diabetes or anything in people's lives. And so, you know, if, like, man, if I get rid of Phyllis, I get rid of 124 pounds. Just think how healthy I'd be. No, I'm kidding you. Now, but don't eat your leaves. It's kind of like when somebody sows seed.
Yeah.
They think, okay, you know, I believe in God, a harvest. I believe in God for a harvest. But they go to church and somebody comes up to them and says, hey, man, here the Lord told me to give you
$20.
Yeah. They get out in the car and say, hey, man, honey, we can stop at Wendy's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then they go along and they go to the grocery store and they said, man, we usually spend $80 a week. We only spent $57 this week.
Yeah.
They go to the store, and what they were going to buy is on sale.
Yeah.
Wow, what a miracle. Well, those things happen, and instead of saving that
$20,
they ate it at Wendy's.
That's right.
But if you're believing for a miracle, you got to realize you got to take everything that comes in your hand and put it towards the harvest that you've sown for.
Yeah.
So when you go to the grocery and say, man, here it is. We have sown. We've saved $23 this week on our grocery bill. Well, put it up. Put it up. Who in the world moves corporate America to give you money back?
Yeah.
You know that was God.
Yeah.
And then you have the $20, and then you have something you went to get on sale and put it back.
Yeah.
And you start doing that. You know what God would do? He will start increasing because now you are involved with
in the
working with the miracle.
Yeah.
And each evidence, man, oh, man, I got $20. Ain't nobody gave me $20 to church before.
Yeah.
Especially that old stingy old woman over there. I'm telling you what, you know that. So then, man, oh, man, that store never has sales. I got it on sale. I went there. I just checked the other day. It was $89. I got the thing for $59. The thing, man, oh, man, I saved $30. You put it back. You put it back. You put it back. And what happens is pretty soon, bang, your miracle is in your hand.
Yeah.
I tell people, when you put out a seed, take an envelope and say, this is my harvest for my seed. And when every time you get a dime, a nickel, you find a quarter, you find a dollar, whatever it is, you put it in that envelope. You're working the working of miracles.
Yeah.
You're taking your faith and you are coming to an end. Hmm. Now people say, oh, God will just give it to me. Yeah, really? How many $1,000 harvest have you put in your hand lately?
Yeah.
Oh, how many times you been out to pizza lately? Yes. See, all of this stuff, Rob, you know, God doesn't work separate from us. He works with us.
Conjunction. Yeah.
He gives us seed to sow. He multiplies the seed.
So, yeah.
What was the seed? It was a small portion.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big bundle. So God is multiplying. In other words, he's reproducing amounts to come into our hand.
Yeah. Amen.
Be wise and save it, and you'll have a miracle harvest. And we're out of time right now. Praise God. We're going to see you next week, Thursday. And Rob, can you pray and just ask God to activate the working of miracles in these people's lives?
Amen. Father, I just thank you right now for everyone that's listening and in their active participation, even to set time from their schedule to watch this program. So, Lord, as they begin to have faith well up in their heart and ideas and thoughts and dreams, Father, I pray that you would ignite in them, Lord, a cooperative spirit, Lord, to work in conjunction with your spirit in the working of miracles in your life, what they're believing for, Lord, the needs that they have, the healings that they need, Lord, and the miracles that they require. Father, I pray that they would begin to put their faith to work and that you would begin to show yourself strong, Lord, that your hand would reach mightily out towards them and that they would begin to see, Lord, the beginning of these miracles. And Lord, and as they begin to see, their faith would rise up and they would reach for more, Lord, and that you would begin to unfold them, Jesus, Lord, in their life in the name of Jesus. I just release miracles right now, the working of miracles in their life. Lord, bring total healing. healing, bring victory, Lord, and prosperity in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you all the praise for it.
Yes, we do.
In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Work with God. God is working with you. We'll see you next week. Thursday. On the program at 9 o'clock. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen.